something sad or something funny, but hey, 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 what's so wrong with one more drinking song? Hold up your cups and sing along to one more drinking song. And if by chance this brings you cheer, maybe someday you'll bring me a beer, or not to mention my favorite drink, a Margaret Daiquiri screw a lot of on the beach. Hey, 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 what's so wrong with one more drinking song? Hold up your cups and sing along. Find wine, buying shots and pickup lines. And here's to bartenders trying to get paid, while all of us are trying to get. Hey, 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 what's so wrong with one more drinking song? Hold up your cups and sing along.
Country 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Organizers of the No Kings movement said their nationwide protests were a success.
Hey, hey, go home! Donald Trump has got to go!
Nearly 7 million people in over 2,700 cities nationwide taking to the streets Saturday, according to organizers, protesting what they say is the abuse of power by President Donald Trump, calling it No Kings Day.
When protesters are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back!
Rallies held in all 50 states, a majority of them peaceful.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbertson. Republicans accused Democrats of using the protests to extend the government shutdown, now on its 19th day. There's a major test of the six-day ceasefire in Gaza after Israel says Hamas militants shot at Israeli soldiers. Hamas said it was not connected to the shooting, but Israeli aircraft and artillery struck the area. French authorities say three thieves broke into a room at the Louvre and stole jewels. The museum is now closed. This is ABC News. Former Congressman George Santos thanked President Trump for commuting his 7-year prison sentence on fraud charges. ABC's Anthony Carlo has more from New York.
Santos writing, "I hold no anger toward anyone, not even my critics. I move forward with humility, with gratitude, and with peace in my heart." The commutation came days after Santos wrote an open letter to Trump.
Police in London are probing whether Prince Andrew asked an officer who was assigned to him as a bodyguard to dig up dirt on the woman who accused him of sexual assault, Virginia Giuffre. Metropolitan Police says they're actively looking into those media reports of Andrew's conduct in 2011 when he allegedly asked an officer to find out if she had a criminal record. Last week, the younger brother of King Charles said he would give up his royal titles. He continues to deny wrongdoing in connection with his longtime friend Jeffrey Epstein. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Progressive has great customer service, and it's easy to reach us because great and easy is the way to be. Like salads, great for you, and so easy you can put any group of veggies in a bowl and it's a salad. A full carrot with a head of cabbage, weird, but still a salad. One radish and a couple of green beans, also a salad. 14 blueberries, half an onion, and a sunchoke. Odd, yes, but an odd salad. So contact Progressive's customer service by phone, app, or online. It's great and easy, just like salad. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Are you having a party or event and need a place to rent? Well, why not try the Riverview Community and Senior Center in Durand? That's right. The Riverview Community Center is available to rent for individuals or groups. The center has a kitchen, tables, and chairs that you can use for your event. There's parking for your guests, and the cost is very affordable. A minimum of 2 hours is required. Call 672-4101 for availability. The Riverview Community and Senior Center, 606 West Madison Street, Durand.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Plenty of sunshine today, but it will be breezy and much cooler. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the upper 30s. On Monday, a few scattered showers in the afternoon. Breezy again, a little warmer with highs near 63. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 42.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
I hope the days come easy and the moments pass slow, and each road leads you where you want to go. If you're faced with a choice and you have to choose, I hope you choose the one that means the most to you. And if one door opens to another door closed, I hope you keep on walking till you find the window. If it's cold outside, show the world the warmth of your smile. But you never forget all the ones who love you in the place you left. I hope you always forgive and you never regret, and you help somebody every chance you get. Oh, you find God's grace in every mistake and always give more than you take. But
Haskell Flats, and that's My Wish. And it's Andrew J. And my wish for you on a Sunday morning is maybe a nice cup of coffee, a nice relaxing start to your day, maybe some brunch. Here's Ray Hill.
Mama still got that sequin gown that she wore in 68. She taught her early how to smile that smile and wave from the parade. It took a whole lot of years and tears for a mama to finally admit, no matter how many stitches and pins,
Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Today, one big country star after another. Real Country 1430.
You say I'll never change. I'm just to go around town with some gasoline. Just trying to bomb a flame. Gonna burn the whole place down. How do you explain ever falling in love with a guy like me in the first place? And turn around, say that I'm the worst thing. I guess I'm the problem. And your mess never do no wrong. If I'm so awful, then why'd you stick around this long? And if it's the whiskey, why you keep on pulling it off the shelf? You hate the wind, you look at me, you halfway see yourself. And it got me thinking, if I'm the problem, well, you might be the reason. We try to go our separate ways, and we're back and forth like a swinging door, and tomorrow's like yesterday. Some days better than the night before, and you're back with me again. Then you go and tell your friends that I'm the problem. Your mess never do no wrong. If I'm so awful, then why'd you stick around this long? And if it's the whiskey, why you keep on pulling it off the shelf? You hate the wind, you look at me, you halfway see yourself. And it got me thinking, if I'm the problem, well, you might be the such a waste of time. Then why are you on your way to waste another Friday night? If I'm the problem, and your mess never do no wrong. If I'm so awful, then why'd you stick around this long? And if it's the whiskey, why you keep on pulling it off the shelf? You hate the wind, you look at me, you halfway see yourself. And it got me thinking, if I'm the problem, well, you might be the reason.
It's Morgan Wallen. I'm the problem, and it's Andrew Jay, and you are the solution. You stick around. Keith Whitley coming up, and we'll get to Martina McBride as well. Keep it here.
As Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote. We dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
Attention passengers, we've reached 10,000 feet and internet is now available for purchase.
I just paid hundreds for this flight and you can't even throw in internet? I'll just take the free pretzels.
Sorry, but I do have snack boxes for sale.
I'm just going to sleep.
In that case, we are selling pillows and blankets as well.
I'll just breathe. That's free, right?
Life costs a lot. So bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-745-3070. That's 800-745-3070.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and top users make $200 to $300 per month.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code BUMPER25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code BUMPER25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BUMPER25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Real Country. Real Country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
Stay.
I'm over you. Things aren't always what they seem. You can't believe everything you read on my face. I'm over you. You heard I'm drinking more than I should. That I ain't been looking all that good. Someone told you I was taking it rough. If I seem a little bit cold, it only means you've lost the hold you have on me. I'm over you. You heard I'm drinking more than I should. That I ain't been looking all that good. Someone told you I was taking.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Duran.
Welcome to our WRDN radio audience. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, so I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to chapter 1, and we are going to be looking at verses 7 through 10 of this text. Just by way of background right here, as we go through this book, Paul started this church in southern Greece on his second missionary journey, looking at a time around 52 AD. About 5 years later, he is in the city of Ephesus, and he gets word that things are not going right in the church in Corinth. And that is one of the reasons why he pens this letter. So a little background. I'm going to begin reading here in verse 10, and I've got to put my glasses on so I can see. Sorry about this. Okay, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Coley, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Father, help us to just clear our minds and let your word speak to us. Thank you, Father, for this marvelous book. And you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through the pages of this book as we seek you. Thank you, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have a quote in our study sheet here by Dr. John MacArthur underneath introduction that says, "Few things demoralize, discourage, and weaken a church as much as bickering, backbiting, and fighting among its members." It almost sounds like a baseball team that is in disarray, but he's talking here about an assembly of people who meet to worship God. And in our text here this morning, Paul lists three solid reasons such conduct is unacceptable in the house of God. So we're going to move through these kind of quickly here. Why is it not right for us to have disunity in the house of God? Number one, verses 10 and 11, they destroy the unity of the church. They destroy the unity of the church. Paul says in verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren." And the word beseech is, it's a plea here. And it's really touched a nerve with the Apostle Paul to hear about the disharmony in this church that he had started. And as he appeals to them, he says, "By the name of our Lord Jesus, by the authority of Jesus Christ himself," not just Paul, but by the authority of Jesus Christ, he says, this is very, very important. It's a serious issue. You know, in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he prayed to the Father that his followers would all be one. He said that in verse 11. He said that in verse 21. He said that in verse 22. He knew how important it was that his followers be one as he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. And then he says here next, he says that ye all speak the same thing. Now that phrase here, that ye all speak the same thing, that was found on a headstone by archaeologists in an ancient cemetery, and it marked the grave of a husband and wife who were known for the harmonious life that they had lived together. And so that is the kind of relationship that we want to have with our brothers and sisters when we come to the house of God. And it says that there be no divisions among you. Now, the word divisions here is, we get our English word schism from it, schemata. And the word means to tear, like to tear a fabric. And that's what happens when there are divisions and schisms in a church. It's like the fabric of the fellowship is being torn, and it's noticeable, and it's ugly. And differences can tear up a church if we're not careful. And then Paul's plea here is not that the believers are to be carbon copies of each other. You know, God has made us individuals and unique, and he did that for a purpose. Because as we bring our individuality and our different gifts and our different personalities to the table in the house of God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it's like a beautiful bouquet of flowers. They're not the same, but they all add a fragrance to that fellowship. Think with me, if you would, about the apostles. They were different from one another, weren't they? They certainly were. Personality, temperament, and gifts. Hey, and those guys were not known for getting along with one another. How often did Jesus have to stop and ask them what they were talking about? And they were so ashamed. But we're not to be carbon copies of one another. So let me ask, there's two questions that come up here. Number one, how can they all speak the same thing? And then number two, how can they fulfill the last half of verse 10 here in our text? "But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." How does that happen? It happens as we center our fellowship around the Word of God. It happens as we all make the Bible the criteria for making decisions life choices, words that come out of our mouth, attitudes that we choose to have. And it says to be of the same mind, it means to be of the same understanding. And if we interpret this book literally, when the Bible tells us to take it literally, and figuratively, when the Bible makes it quite plain that it's to be taken figuratively, we should come out on the same ground. It says, in the same mind, that means the same understanding. And then it talks about the same judgment that Wiest, the Greek scholar from Moody Bible Institute, for years and years, he says that word judgment means opinion. Opinions. So we have the same opinion in regard to the Bible teaching or doctrine. We have the same opinion as far as our standards. We have the same opinion as far as our basic lifestyle. Where are we all united together in our understanding of the Word of God and our desire to live out the truths of God? And for a local church to enjoy spiritual health, it means that there must be doctrinal unity. Doctrinal unity. The Word of God is not a spiritual smorgasbord. That is not the way it works. There are certain certainties in the Bible. There are absolutes. And as those are recognized and followed, well, we understand that there is a unity that binds us one with another. And that is so, so essential. Doctrinal weakness and confusion and fights in the house of God, that comes when we don't have the same criteria for our behavior. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And Paul says here, verse 11, he says, for it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, that there are arguments that are going on, that there are disputes that are going on, and it's in the plural there, isn't it? And Wellborn, the Bible commentator, says that word contention speaks. It describes the emotional flame that ignites whenever rivalry exists. The emotional flame that ignites whenever that rivalry exists. And Paul says, hey, listen, this is not God's design for this unique living organism called a New Testament fellowship, New Testament church. And so as he goes on, he calls, in verse 11, excuse me, verse 10, he calls them brethren. And then in verse 11, he calls them brethren. He lets them know it softens this rebuke that he has given to these believers. We are in the same spiritual family. And then it lets them know that they have that special bond one with another, you know. Now, so important that we be of one mind. And please, you know, we say to people, we're not ashamed to say that we are a Baptist church. We are not ashamed to say that we believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. We are not ashamed to say that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are not ashamed to say that baptism doesn't save. And we want as many as possible who want to come and fellowship with us. But there are some non-negotiables. That's right. And they're based on thus saith the Lord. And if this is not where you feel comfortable, we understand perhaps you might want to choose some other place to worship. But we have to follow what the God gives to us here in the scriptures. And he says that you should be perfectly joined together. Interesting word there, katartizo. The Greek historian Herodotus said katartizo. He used it for restoring civil order in a city that is torn apart by strife. Katartizo. It was used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. It says about Jesus, and going on from thence, after calling Peter and Andrew, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending, katartizo, their nets, and he called them. The word means to thoroughly repair. The word means to make something fit or something complete. There's a schism. There are tears right now. But Paul is exhorting them and he's appealing to them from his heart. He says, now, mend these differences and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be perfectly joined together. My friend, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Now listen, I'll just speak from a little bit of experience here. My wife is laughing for those of you who can't. We've been married for 56 years. All right? You know what? It didn't happen by accident. It took a great deal of maturity on her part to live with a guy like me. And took a little bit of maturity on my part to live with a young lady like that. But you cannot get up and say, oh, I don't like what she does. I don't like the way she thinks. I don't like the way she... No, you're looking for things that unite you together. A good marriage is not an accident. You work at it every day. A good church is not an accident. You have to work at it every day. Well, I don't like her, or I don't like the way he does this, blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's not what you like. It's not what I like. It's what Christ wants. That's what counts. You know, Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Earnestly desiring to keep that unity intact in that marriage, earnestly and desiring to keep that unity in your home and your relationship with your spouse. And he gives seven wonderful facts that unite us together. He says there's one body. There's the universal body of Christ, of which the local church is united with. He says there's one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So instead of magnifying our differences, magnify those things that unite us together. And those are the big seven right there. And so we all are encouraged not to allow divisions in our heart toward our ill feelings in our heart toward our brother. Disharmony destroys the unity of the church. Number two, squabbles and quarrels make more of men than Christ. They make more of men than Christ. Verse 12, Paul says, now this I say, and every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? There were four factions that are identified for us right here in our text right here. Number one, there were people that said, I really, 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 really like Paul. I think he's really on center. Well, he's the one that started the church. He's an apostle. Sure, we understand that. He was an intellectual, too. Great man of God. And then there is Apollos. Apollos was a Jew who was born in Alexandria, Egypt. Eloquent, learned, deeply versed in the Old Testament scriptures, he became a disciple of John the Baptist, zealously taught what he knew from John about the Messiah, but he was limited in his understanding of salvation. He didn't understand the significance of Christ's death and resurrection, nor was he acquainted with the coming of the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2. He was bold, he was fervent in his teaching. He spoke in the synagogue in Ephesus, and he caught the attention of two tent makers, a husband and wife, Aquila and Priscilla. And they said, boy, he's close. And instead of saying something publicly to him, the Bible says this godly couple got him aside, and they began to explain the significance of John the Baptist's teaching. He was announcing the coming of the Messiah. Apollos at that time was a redeemed Old Testament saint. Let me just say that again. Apollos at that time was a redeemed Old Testament saint. He was saved, but he was not yet able to call himself a Christian because he didn't understand all that John had prophesied and that Jesus had fulfilled. In Acts chapter 18, it says that Aquila and Priscilla expounded unto him or explained the way of God more accurately. Jesus' atoning death, Jesus' resurrection. And Apollos accepted everything that Aquila and Priscilla told him. He called on the Lord for salvation, and he now calls himself not a disciple of John the Baptist, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, and after that, the Bible says he wanted to cross the Aegean Sea. He wanted to go to southern Greece. He wanted to visit the synagogue there in Corinth. And the believers in Ephesus, after they saw his change and believing on the Lord Jesus, they said, we'll write you some letters. And so they wrote letters, and he came into the synagogue, and he came into the midst of the assembly of believers there in Corinth, and they accepted him. And the scripture says in verse 28 of Acts chapter 18, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. One commentator said, Apollos was a bombshell in the synagogue at Corinth. He was a rocket, if you would, spiritually. I mean, he just took off. He was eloquent. He was fervent. And there were people in the church there that says, you know, I like Paul too, but I like Apollos. You know, he's really, really, really versed in the scriptures. J. Vernon McGee said this. Well, and then there were Peter. There's Peter. How can we forget the rugged, the fisherman of Peter? Put his foot in his mouth. How many times? I don't know. You could do a study on that yourself. I think we all identify with Peter in certain ways, huh? The leader of the 12. The one who boldly stood up for Christ on the day of Pentecost and days following. And somebody said, I really, really like Peter. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said this. He says, these three brought a message that emphasized fusion, not faction. I like that. Yeah. And then there were some there in the church, the fourth party, that says, well, we're for Christ. It carries the tone of a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of self-righteousness. Now, yeah, you guys are doing this, but you know, we're really, really spiritual because we're for Christ. A little bit of arrogance right there. And then Paul asks a question right now in verse 13. He says, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? You and I have seen pictures of idols in different countries of the world. And some of these idols have like two heads or six arms. I mean, they're grotesque, are they not? And as we present Christ to the world as a divided people, they see a grotesque picture of the God that we serve. Our God is not divided. Hear, O Israel, there is one Lord. That's the Shema, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6. It hadn't changed. I mean, there was a Trinity in the Old Testament. Yes, a Trinity in the New Testament. The Shema, 3 in 1. Write me a letter if you don't understand it, and I'll send you a book. I don't understand it either, but I believe it because the Bible says it, okay? And then he says, is Christ... The answer is obviously no. And anything that breaks the unity of Christ's people is not right there. And then he says in verse 13, was Paul crucified for you? Obviously not. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? And to be baptized in the name of someone means to identify with someone. A little bit later in the book here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They were baptized into Moses and the cloud. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. That means that as they walked through the Red Sea and they had the Shekinah above them and Pharaoh's army was chasing them, they identified with Moses. And Paul says right here, he says, he says, were you baptized in the name of Paul? You weren't. When I came, I started a church. I told you about Jesus, but you weren't baptized in my name. And then he says in verse 14, he says, I thank God that I had baptized. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Now, Paul is not belittling baptism, and it is a huge step after you believe on the Lord. But what he is saying right here, God in his providence allowed Paul to baptize only a few people in Corinth. And as he looks back on that now, he says, I'm so glad that happened because I didn't want to create a Paul cult. I didn't want to create a Paul following. Amen. Now, think with me. In John chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says Jesus baptized no one. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, my friend, if you're listening to my voice over the radio and you happen to belong to a group or a church that says baptism saves, how is it that Jesus baptized no one when he said in John 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost? How is it that Paul was able to start so many churches and lead so many to Christ if baptism wasn't the focus? The focus is Christ died for our sins. The focus is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, we have so many people that are walking around, they think they know the Lord. They've never connected with God. They were sprinkled. They were immersed as a baby. They had no idea what was going on, but they say, oh, I know God. Yeah, but they never read their Bible. Yeah, but they never want to come to the house of God. Yeah, but they never want to talk about God. No, they got a phony salvation. And so Paul says, and I thank God in his providence, I always only baptized a few right here. Now, what happens is, when these squabbles and these arguments ensue, Roman numeral number 2, I'm not sure if I gave this to you, it not only destroys the unity of the church, but it makes more of men than Christ. It makes more of men than Christ. Apollos, Peter, even Paul himself. There's an Old Testament verse that speaks about this problem. It's in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Cease ye from man, the prophet Isaiah said to the people of Judah, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? In what way is he to be esteemed? The people in Jerusalem, they were facing an imminent invasion, and they were going to trust in Egypt for help, or they were going to try to make an alliance with Assyria, Babylon, coming as some kind of trade agreements. And the prophet says, hey, stop trusting in man. Trust in Jesus Christ, or trust in Jehovah God, as Isaiah and the other prophets presented him at that time. But these squabbles and these arguments, they tear a church apart. They tear a fellowship apart. Now, doesn't the Bible say something about let every man be convinced in his own mind? Yeah. Hey, listen, you get a group of Baptists together, it would be a miracle if we all thought the same thing and said the same thing. But when it comes down to the basics, thus saith the Lord, we've got to be on the same page. And that's what keeps us together. That's what keeps us together. Third, something else very quickly right here. These squabbles and arguments, they detract from our witness. They detract from our witness. Two ways. Paul says in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, and it is great. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Paul didn't get sidetracked. He knew what his mission was. And you know what sidetracks us? Arguments, differences, divisions. That can happen very, very quickly. They sap our emotional energy. They sap our physical energy. They sap our mental energy. They detract from our witness. How can you have the joy of the Lord when you have something against another brother or sister in the house of God? Paul says, listen, God sent me to preach Christ. And this thing, the divisions and squabbles and arguments, there is not of God. It's not of God. They detract from our witness and the energy that God wants us to set forth. Okay, we're going to finish here. Conclusion right here. No church, no matter what their size, whether it's 2,000 in number or 20 in number, can afford quarrels, divisions, and splits. The battle against the kingdom of darkness is too great to allow cracks in our fellowship. We just cannot afford that. We just cannot afford that. So Paul emphatically states, these things are wrong. They destroy the unity of the church. They make more of man than Christ. And they detract from our witness for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for showing us and reminding us and keeping us on center how important it is to live peaceably amongst the brethren. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-